Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
What?
It is Fat Tuesday.
Oh my gosh, happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, also known as Ash Wednesday Eve.
Only among that Lenten.
Select circles. So we are excited that you are with us. We are coming up on our Lent season for Church Drunk, and for those of you that are new to the program, welcome.
Yes. I mean, everybody's kind of new to it because, if we're real honest,
it's been
Church Drunk's been light.
It's been a while
lately.
Yeah. It's been a while since we church drunked with you all. For those of you who are old hands, you know the rules. But for those of you that are tuning in,
lay it out
for the first time or need a reminder, since it's been a bit. There's a couple things that we like to remind folks of. First off, we tend to be a bit foul-mouthed in our spiritual journey, and so we simply ask that you put on your headphones if your children are in the car,
or if you let your kids swear,
or let them roll with it. If you're down with the potty humor,
God can handle it. We hope you can too.
Totally. Yep. In addition to that, we can be a bit blasphemous when we really get uppity.
Yeah.
So if you are not down with
easily offended,
the doubt that is inherently built into faith, as we would argue.
Oh, yes.
Then, you know, maybe look elsewhere for your spiritual direction.
Or if it makes you feel really good to judge us,
yeah,
just hang around.
Totally. Listen, yeah, and
just call us
and
out.
Condemn
be
us to the pits
heretics.
Of hell.
Sure.
So I am guest here with my friend, co-host, partner in crime, Dizzy.
Long time co-host of Church Drunk.
As usual, we start with a question. Diz, what are you drinking?
Oh, dear co-host guest, I am sipping a lovely, dark, rich, luxurious Cabernet.
Yes.
For this lovely Lenten Eve, as
right.
You called it.
Yes. Happy Ash Wednesday Eve.
Uh-huh. And you, guests, are drinking what?
I've got a milk stout.
A milk stout.
I feel like is appropriate, given that this is the day, Fat Tuesday, where you clear out all of the dairy and the rich foods and the whatnot,
right?
Look
at this tie-in.
So a milk stout really makes a lot of sense. It makes even more sense when you take into account that this particular milk stout from Evil Twin Brewing is called Even More 8-pound, 6-ounce Newborn Infant Jesus.
Just suckling at that milk stouty teat.
Given that the last time we actually did a church drunk was in Advent,
little
8-pound, 6-ounce Newborn Baby Jesus kind of works.
And that the last episode was called Gluttony. You are
totally.
Just so on point today. Hey,
just
cheers to that.
Yep.
Cheers to that.
It's a tie-in in
a
glass.
A
that was a good one.
Yes. I mean, Mardi Gras is all about the emphasis on the luxurious and the extra and the fat because we're about to go without. So I like that we have fancy glasses, that we have fancy drinks. Everybody should pour themselves one. If actually, maybe not if you're doing Lent, but...
Well,
it's Sunday.
If you're listening to this on... Yeah. Well, but you know what? We've drank on Ash Wednesday before just to record this program. We've
done
it. These are the sacrifices we make.
We've never given up booze for Lent.
No.
And I don't think we ever will.
You'll pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
It's how we commune with God.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like removing ayahuasca from the shaman. You just can't do it.
How else are you going to get there?
Right.
Wherever there is.
Yeah. So, it is, for us, Fat Tuesday. For you, most likely, Ash Wednesday or some point thereafter as you listen to this. And we are staring the depths of Lent right in the maw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ashes on the forehead.
Repent, you sinner.
Fish on Fridays.
And less of extra stuff
throughout.
Like, you know, I feel like this whole, everybody knows about fish on Fridays, right? Like, even the, like, fast food places are like, we sell fish sandwiches for $2 for $5, so you can be gluttonous with our fried fish. And I'm just like, you know what?
Fried fish.
Like, this isn't the point.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't think it matters if you eat meat. I think you should just not eat the fancy stuff.
That being said, there is at least one, usually two, on some years, three Fridays in Lent where Mrs. Guess and I totally go out to like sushi and we eat and we're like, oh no, we're following the rules and we're eating like the more expensive side of going out to eat.
Well, and you like fasted all day as you do every time you're going to go to sushi for dinner because you're going to glutton
like, yourself.
Blah, blah,
blah.
So holy. You
totally.
Know, you got to do what you got to do, but I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
So,
in Fat Tuesday does kind of have a special place in our hearts here on Church Drunk. Our very first episode ever, if you recall, was kind of like a preview of like, hey, this is the podcast that we're thinking about doing.
Just for fun.
And we're going to call it our Mardi Gras episode. And then we launched into it. So Lent is kind of, even though it's not like Catholic New Year the way that Advent is, it's our inaugural season. It's how we kind of kick off a new cycle. Yeah. Happy birthday, Church Drunk.
What an awesome birthday to have, too. Yeah. Mardi Gras. What if your birthday was a movable feast?
That would be crazy.
Oh my gosh.
It would be the first Tuesday after the first full moon after the freaking vernal equinox.
Good job. I always think that Mrs. Guest is the only one amongst us who can rattle that shit off so quick. Oh my gosh. All right. So we're heading into Lent, which we love to hate and love to love as well.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome and it makes you do important spiritual work.
And it's feckin' long.
It's so long.
Yeah. Although last year we talked about it being so long and then we got partway through and we were like, I feel like I haven't done anything. And all of a sudden it felt very short, right? Like,
yes.
If it really is meant to be a spiritual cleaning of the house, then it takes 40 days. And if you try and shortcut it, as we found out last year, for various reasons, right? Like, you can't necessarily do full-blown Lent every year, right? We have had Uber Lents and we have had Lent Light. And they both have their place.
Yeah.
But the years where you maybe kind of get a sluggish start to it, you can find yourself buried pretty quickly.
Well, and then I hate feeling like I didn't get the most out of it.
Right.
There's also like the Lent remorse, like fear of missing out on Lent.
Now I have to wait till next Ash Wednesday full mole.
I needed more time.
Right, yeah.
So we're going to try to do it right this year.
Yeah. So last year was, it wasn't like a letdown, but it was just a lighter side.
You know what though? I think it was a lighter side in terms of maybe our practices, but there was some bigger stuff happening in our lives. And that happens sometimes where God's like, I'll take care of the spring cleaning for you. Watch this.
Yeah. Right.
Boom.
Yes. If you won't break yourself, I'll break you for you.
Oh, need a little help with that hammer?
Exactly.
Okay. So this time we're prepared.
Sure.
Sort of.
We're going to call it that. Yeah.
So we usually take something away from each other as our fasting.
Yes.
And we often add something or try to do something. And then the other bit's giving is the other
So it's
spiritual
practice. It's pray, fast, give or prayer, fasting, and alms giving. Or those are kind of the classic three practices. Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, like the giving, the alms giving, the generosity part of Lent is the part that I'm like worst at. Like, full disclosure, the idea of giving something up is often partnered with like, take whatever the excess is that you have because you're not doing that, right? Like, because you're not eating meat on Fridays, you're having a simple meal, and then you take the extra money left over from that and you give it to the poor, right? Like, in whatever shape or form that takes.
I would argue that because we take things away from each other in terms of social currency, we collect all that joy from watching the other person suffer, and we pay that forward to other people in our lives. We are we are social givers.
Wow. I cannot believe how deep into the pit of manure we just got and how quickly we got there.
That's it may not be my first glass of Cabernet this evening.
That is fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Well,
way to encourage
done.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I think that that is true to a certain extent. You know, there's some mental acrobatics to get there, but I like it.
Hey, if somebody wants to pay me to take away something specific from you, I will donate that money to a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just I've never been. It's not that I don't give, right? Like, there's the rice bowls, and there's lots of, you know, charitable events that
rice
are going
bowl supporters.
On, like all sorts of stuff. Yes. And it's like, you know, I'll put a little bit here and a little bit there, but I've never been a great accountant, right? So I've never really been that good in life, and then especially not during Lent, to being like, oh well, I've saved X amount of dollars, and therefore I should donate X amount of dollars to such and such a charity. So maybe this year, like, that's something I could be a little more intentional about, is like, maybe Lent is my season to like research somewhere and not, you know, again, I'm just a shitty accountant. That's the way that things go.
You've got to miss this.
But I'll be like, you know, that's why I got married. Yes.
Mm-hmm. same. Here. Good spouses.
But we can, you know, maybe just at the end of the Lenten season, as Easter approaches, think about what's a place that I would like to donate to, and just, you know, pick a dollar amount, something like
that. A little extra.
Yeah,
we do give actually in seriousness.
We do. And when you work at a, you know, Catholic church, Catholic school, wherever, there usually is, you know, it's like not as big as the holidays time when there is a huge social movement of like from Thanksgiving to Christmas, like let's give to be able to help the poor. But there is usually something that happens during Lent that is you know, meant to be a communal almsgiving. So, you know, you participate in that kind of stuff. And that is one of the ways that the church can help you out during this time of year, of being like, hey, remember, we're all supposed to be doing this extra little bit.
Yeah, you know? You could help. Yeah. All right.
It's not exactly Toys for Tots, but it gets the job done.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of what would be like the Lenten equivalent, but there's just not one.
Toys for Tots.
Nobody, I mean, like, people get like Easter baskets.
Yeah, like Cadbury cream eggs for orphans or something like that.
Everybody deserves a lovely pagan cream-filled egg.
Why buy the egg-laying bunny when you can get the Cadbury cream egg for free?
Here, here. Church drink. Back.
So, as we look ahead to the season of Lent and our sort of Lenten practices,
yes,
we have one very exciting thing to talk about that's going to kind of kickstart our Lent as mm-hmm. we look ahead. Yes. We may have a guest star coming in,
a special
guest of some sort that's going to help us kick off Lent. We weren't able to pull it together for like Ash Wednesday, but perhaps for next week we'll be able to get started with Lent with a special guest who may be able to assign us a spiritual practice.
Yeah, we thought in the spirit of Church Drunk, we immediately want to bring our guest into the fun, you know? And what's more fun than getting to take things away from people?
Right, yeah.
So at first we were going to ask him if he'd like to do that, but that is a lot of pressure. So then he's probably a better person than us.
And if we had been better people ourselves, we probably would have been ready to be like, well, we'll take our own things away.
Yeah.
And then also whatever is assigned to us.
Like, yes. No, I thought that we could do the same thing. Or
sometimes
even
three.
Yes.
Sometimes when you take something away from me, I also take my own thing away on top of that.
You have been very thorough.
Because I'm just a feckin' martyr.
Wow. You love to hurt.
But I don't know if I'm ready to triple down. You know.
Yeah, and I thought it might be fun, but I think more fun for our guests, which is the spirit of giving. Once again, guys, we are very generous socially.
Yes.
Is to let our guests maybe assign us.
Give us.
A practice.
Something. Yeah.
And that would help us learn somebody else's, because we are in a bit of a bubble sometimes.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
That's a plan. And this guest has experience in recording things. So,
I think he'll
be down.
Arenas of life. Yeah. So hopefully our you know, now we are recording this pre-Lent, so our first like in Lent episode will be acquiring a new spiritual practice and gaining a new spiritual perspective from somebody who we haven't talked to before on the podcast, which is always fun to be able to do. We've done it a couple times before, so that we look forward to that as sort of a Lenty launch that'll come next week.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, and also looking ahead to Lent, for practices that we like to do. We are bookish and wordy, as everyone, if you've listened to this at all before, probably knows.
Yeah.
So we want to focus not on a specific book this year.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't always go great.
Yeah. Well,
although it does sometimes.
Now, we've done it in the past where we both read the same book during Lent, and we say, let's read it.
Book
let's
club.
Dig in there. Yeah. Started with Mercy in the City, which we've actually recommended to other folks that
still
they
like
read it.
Yep.
Great book. Makes you feel like a terrible person if you're not actually doing anything, because she focuses on all of those like corporal, like actual tangible works of mercy, and she tells her stories of doing all of these different things. And for me, it was like, wow. I think our goal at the beginning was, let's do it with her. Like, let's do each of these things.
Yeah.
And then you read about how much she struggled. And she wrote a book about how much she struggled. And then it was like, we maybe got through like a third of the list, you know? Like, we did a few things here and there.
But she's very real about it. So we'd still recommend Mercy in the City.
For sure.
We also did The Way of the Heart.
Yes.
By Henry Nouwen, which I cannot recommend enough. And I think I've done it enough on the podcast. But just to say, once again, great Lenten read. That was your pick, I believe.
Right. I had already read it. Yes. So you were reading it kind of as you went along. And then last year, we both read Sister Joan Chittister. Darkness to Daylight, which we were really excited
about.
And
I kept saying from daylight to darkness because that's how it felt.
That's where my life was at. And it's a great book. It just, for whatever reason, didn't really resonate with us. Like, we didn't share a wavelength with it.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't think I would recommend it. It's just that it struck me at a point in my life where that was not the book that I needed or the message that I needed.
And then it felt like a slog because we had committed to
it. We had locked
it.
Ourselves into it.
Yeah, and it just wasn't hitting us right at that time.
So this year we're saying, you know, like once bitten, twice shy, we're going to sort of take it at our own pace. Each of us will seek out our own books that we can recommend to each other.
And we don't have to read all of it. We're going to look dear for listeners. Excerpts, right. sections.
Yeah, bits and pieces.
We're going to be cafeteria Catholics, if you will, when it comes to our Lenten books.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know that cafeteria Catholic is
the
term.
We're picking and choosing.
It's going to be more like your weird uncle that reads the flap or the recommendations on the back of a book and then claims that he's read the book, you know?
Sure, like tells has you a very all educated, about it.
Yeah, right? Like, isn't it life-changing? Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where we are at the moment. Right. So we'll see how they go. I mean, we'll read them. We're going to read something.
We've had a couple recommendations to us.
Yes.
We have a couple of books by
Nadia.
Nadia Bolz-Weber. Yes. Now that's Bolz-Weber. Nadia Bolz-Weber.
Hello, Boris.
That. Yes.
Good to see you again. You want.
Ah, yes, Nadia is the Bolz-Weber. So somehow.
Okay. Love it.
But that's an author that's been recommended to us. So one or the other of us.
And she's got two books that were recommended.
Dabble with the Bolz-Weber.
You guys, he just wants you all to know he pictures Nadia weaving balls in the old country.
It sounds like Bolz-Weber. I'm sorry. It sounds like Bolz-Weber.
This is the shit you get to repent for. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, Nadia. Because her book's like Saints and Sinners.
Yes,
and like
it looks right up our alley. So we've had that recommended
to us. She's like a cool person, you know.
Yes.
And we're just not. But
so that may be on our Lenten reading list.
We're gonna
There's
try
a couple
it out.
Of others that we talked about. I mentioned in conversation leading up to this that like I've never really done the daily Lenten reader. And there's dozens of different ones that get published every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year I'd kind of like to try and keep up. Like sometimes I've started and after a week or two I kind of fade off.
Yeah.
And you know, because this is cafeteria Catholic reading this Lent, I may end up doing that. But I've got one that is Reflections from Pope John Paul II.
Okay.
You're supposed to kind of work your way through day by day during Lent. So I'm interested in that.
You're giving him another chance because and good Pope John. Saint John Paul.
Saint John II, Paul II.
And certain factions are pushing to have him entitled The Great.
Oh,
this might be enough to turn you right off that book.
That might be a bit much.
I'm sorry, but that is what is circulated in the realms.
We're just on again, off again, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we're like...
Well, we'll see what this does for you.
I don't know. Who's on again, off again? The Ross and Rachel? Is that who we are?
Wow, I'm impressed that you
Catholicity.
Would know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kids these days. They're into Friends again. Who knew?
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so when I was growing up, John Paul II was very much a symbol of like... to me, sort of the hierarchical church.
Yeah.
So I was like, meh, he's an old man that has nothing to do with like my faith as like, you know, a young youth group goer.
Mm.
And then after he died and we end up with Herr Ratzinger, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, like I wish I had John Paul II back and did a whole like pilgrimage thing to Rome and had moments of clarity and read some of his poetry and things like that. And then eventually went back around to like being a bit more academic in my approach and was like, you know, though there was some undoing of Vatican II that I can't let JP2 off the hook for some of that stuff. So, you know, like I feel like I'm older and wiser and can take the yin with the yang.
It sounds like a balanced perspective.
Yeah.
Like I feel like he's a reminder that people are people.
Yeah.
And that there's, you know, a lot of good and not perfect in that. Legacy as well, I would argue.
Speaking of Herr Ratzinger.
Okay.
Have you seen the two popes? Did you watch the two popes yet?
No.
Oh.
Okay, and here's...
You gotta watch it, and then we'll do that later.
All right. I'm willing to do that. The reason I haven't watched it is that it's getting a lot of, like, you know, buzz right now.
Right.
And I just have this thing where, like, movies about people who are currently alive just, like, weird me out.
Okay.
Like, I think it's squeaky. Like, I didn't watch the Obama one either. Because I was like, like, they're not alive, and I don't really want to.
Yeah.
But I will watch it. I'm down to watch it, and we can talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. It was something that, you know, I didn't watch it right away. I wasn't part of, you know, the clamoring horde to go watch it. But it was recommended to me by enough folks. And like you said, it's kind of buzzy right now. So it's sort of like,
it's having a moment.
All right, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not.
Yeah.
But it's worth a shot.
Okay.
And I, you know, personally enjoyed it. So I think it's worth taking a look at you know,
I'm not opposed.
Maybe we'll chat about it.
Just wasn't rushing to see it. Okay.
So, okay. Maybe later on in Lent, we'll do Popes chat.
Yeah. When we're down in the trenches.
Yeah. Ratzy and Frank.
God. can't imagine why I'm delayed. Sounds so great when you say it that way. No, it's actually funny when you were talking about John Paul II. I've always had such a aversion, right, to a Benedict or a Ratzinger. And then some of his early writings actually softened me toward him. So, which is a weird feeling because I'm still overall not a fan.
Ratzinger was a much better read
as a theologian
than he was.
I'm interested.
Interpersonal thing.
No, I wouldn't go as far as fan.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
No, I mean, I remember reading, you know, because when he became Pope, it was kind of like, all right, well.
Oh, terrified.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was terrifying. And at the same time, it was like, but you don't undo that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I kind of wanted to find out a bit more about who he was. And then eventually when I did go on this like pilgrimage to Rome, with a group, you know, it's not like something that I did on a personal level, but like, you know, it was a thing that was going on and it was like, well, I kind of got to figure out what this Pope's all about. So I did a little bit of digging and he does write beautifully and his theology is there is a heart to it. And yet that heart didn't shine through so often in what he actually did in the church.
No, exactly.
So he's an interesting like character study.
Yes.
You know, of, you know, mother church versus the church in your heart.
Well, and we're not all called to everything. So I kind of feel about
and
it.
And he knew that. And it's, you
and
know.
He did know that.
The greatest gift that he gave to us was stepping down.
He stepped down and then he's meant to stay down.
Right.
And he's kind of.
There's been a bit of a flare up lately.
There's been a bit of a wobble.
Yeah. As we talk about.
I said lay down.
Flare up usually only refers to like herpes or something like that. But we had a Pope flare up.
Is there a steroidal cream we could rub over that region?
But he did kind of put it out himself.
He did, but all of it. Okay, well.
We'll get into it later.
Gosh, we are really just going here. So look, I was going to say though, along with you, I have a daily reader that I was going to try.
Yes.
And it's in the tradition, which is also having a moment right now, of Memento Mori.
Yes.
Okay. And this
I thought was the sequel to Tuesdays with Mori, but spoiler alert,
another
it's not.
Great read.
Yeah.
Everyone should pick that up. An old man, a young man.
I was like, what, did they find his journals like later on or something?
There's more Mori. Okay, this is Memento, just like you think, but M-O-R-I.
Right.
Which means remember your death. And apparently this is like an old Christian practice that reminds people, and it's used heavily in like a lot of religious orders, I think particularly the Benedictines and some of their other offshoots, as in a positive sense to remember your mortality, to remember Jesus' death and that you're heading towards that in making your decision. So it's kind of like a morality check on you,
right,
but also meant to give you hope, like, kind of on the flip side, like whatever's going on with you, like you're still gonna die, like don't take this quite so seriously. So I don't know, so I have a daily book of reflections. Hang on, guests. Hang on, I'm gonna get through the short description. Take a sip of your milk stout. Baby Jesus wants you to suckle that a little bit. So Memento Mori, and even Saint Ignatius said, you know, whenever you have a tough decision, just think about yourself on your deathbed.
Right.
How would you feel about that?
Yes.
That's what Memento Mori is.
Yeah.
So.
I can't. I can't unthink.
Okay.
That it's just like two old Benedictines sitting on a bench on every Tuesday imparting wisdom on one another.
Oh my gosh.
But, and maybe it is.
I have a suspicion that some people have made this more than it is, because a big part of this is having like a little bit of a skull around you. So like all the Memento Mori stuff has like a little cute skull, and like people put the little skull on their desk, and I'm like, these are just people who like, like it's kind of like the Day of the Dead thing. Like they're like, I'm like, I feel like this is really cute. See, on one hand, so I'm gonna give it a chance.
Right.
I bought a little Lenten reflection book.
Might as well.
It does make sense for Lent.
Yep.
To think about your death and try to get cleaner before then.
Yeah.
And
So we'll we can expect throughout Lent. First off, guest star, very exciting. And then a little bit of spiritual practice and a few updates on what we are reading and what we're pulling out of it, and whether our daily readings are going well, and whether we found any. We kind of said we want to focus on nonfiction because that's not the
I
norm
have one
for us.
Other
so book. You had an idea for another one that you were going to look at.
Yeah, and I wish I had written down, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and on some podcasts I was listening to, they were interviewing somebody else, which is probably why I can't think about what it was.
We can tell you listen to a lot of podcasts because of the really polished nature of this one that we put out.
I have taken everything of my own podcasting style directly from NPR. Yeah. I'm always pausing and waiting for you to finish, if you haven't noticed. No. So I don't remember anyway who it was, but they referenced this book called Regarding the Pain of Others, and it's by Susan Sontag, who was a photographer, and it was like published maybe right after she died. And it's on this idea of like war photography and like images of atrocities and of horrors, like think about like lynchings or like other stuff, or like the Matthew Payne, who's takes the war photos from like the American Civil War. Anyway, these photos that just are very horrible to look at, but kind of like the importance of looking at those as a way to avoid future war and also to understand the pain of others as a way forward.
So what you're saying is that we should learn from the mistakes of the past and consider them almost from like an empathic perspective. How can the pain of others and the lessons of the past keep us from making the same mistakes in future?
I'm going to read about this and not apply it though at all.
It should not be countercultural. No. And yet it totally is.
Well, because we're not great at this, right? Like, this is why history keeps repeating itself. Yeah. Like, this is not a new idea either, that we're knuckleheads.
Look at our president and the way that he got there.
I'm clutching my wine so tightly.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I know.
That learning from the mistakes of the past and looking empathically at the pain of others, not a strong suit right now for our culture.
No, it's not. But I'm really interested in trying to read this book and exploring it because it's not from a religious perspective, and yet it really echoes a lot of things that I think are maybe mirrored in our own, right? Like, we worship a crucifix, a person suffering. Like, why do we look at something horrible? Well, we look at something horrible to remind us to go in a better direction, and that something good can come out of it if we will allow it to.
But you know that that person who was suffering just came from a shithole country, so it doesn't really affect us.
Was he even white?
Yeah, right?
I mean, real questions. Yeah. So, and my other interest is that, even you guests looked at the cover and were like, ooh, that's a gross cover.
It's shocking.
And I was like, but look, there's nothing inside of it. It's just words. And I can read about horrific things, and I don't like to look at them. So maybe this will convince me that I should, or maybe I'm already empathic enough.
Well, and the question might be like, you know, like, yes, we have a lot of imagery built around the crucifix in our church, right?
Yeah.
But we also grow up reading about a really horrific thing, right?
Yes. And like blow by literal blow.
So there's the Gospels that tell it blow by blow. There's a crucifix hanging in every church. And yet, you know, Passion of the Christ, a movie that depicts it, comes under fire for being too graphically violent, right? Which I felt at the time was probably justified, right? You know, but like, that's my bias of like, why do I have to watch it if I've already read it about it like 1,000 times, you know? And like, but it's an interesting push and pull sort of dynamic.
Yeah, I'm down to kind of follow this intellectual
Lent
line.
Is a great time to explore that kind of stuff.
Okay, so lots of things to read and think about
and
pray about.
Lead
up
to
it. But we know what everybody
really
wants
down
to know.
To, right? Like, everybody, the question for Lent is always, what are you giving up?
Okay.
So.
And we typically take something from each other, but we also have a safe list.
Right. And we attribute this to Father Jim
the
Martin,
tradition.
Who is our sort of spiritual guide in,
we're,
you know, some ways.
Yeah.
He is, you know, very public voice of the church.
Yeah.
And particularly
an ever-expanding role, it seems,
of the Jesuit persuasion of the church.
True.
Yeah. And so in an interview with Stephen Colbert,
some many years
James
past.
Martin said that he has a Jewish friend who thinks it's kind of ridiculous that for Lent you give up, you choose what you give up. And so he is assigned things to give up by this friend of his. And so we said, well, that's kind of fun. We can we can take things away from each other. But we do have a safe list that is usually 3 items long that we say you can't take these 3 things.
Okay.
So
and you're
looking
at me in trepidation.
All I know is you're going first. I don't know if that means that you're going first to give the safe list or you're going first to take something away.
Well, I'll just tell you. I'm going first because I'm going big this Lent. I am not doing a safe list.
What?
I'm going to let you just fucking do it. Because I was like, why am I making a safe list? Like, the safe list is always such a cushy thing. And I don't, okay, I'm going first because I didn't want to, like, surprise you with it. Because I think it's fine to have a safe list. With the caveat that booze is on both of our, like, we've always said we would never take booze. Like,
yeah, we don't want to be around each other.
You don't have to put it on your safe list. Like, that's safe.
We don't want to be around each other if we take booze away.
And I just thought, like, all the stuff I would actually really not want to lose, like, I probably should lose that.
Okay, in defense of the safe list, just for the record. Sure. All right. Last year, bread was on my safe list because I was doing a year of bread. And it was like, if she takes away bread.
Look at me cackle. I was literally going to take away flour. That was number one on my plan.
Like, I was going to bake bread for others the entirety of Lent.
And not eat it.
Which would have sucked a lot. Number two, I put on granola bars because I eat granola bars for breakfast and lunch like every day. And then I think about it in the context of what you just said. And I'm like, wow. That makes me sound like a really selfish asshole.
No.
That I'm like, I refuse to bake bread for others. And I refuse to have solidarity with starving people around the world. Because I'm like, if you take away my breakfast granola bar and my lunch granola bar. And then I gorge myself on dinner. I'm sure I'll be super deprived.
Okay. In your defense, though, I always... Okay. And I still, like, don't object to the safe list. It's just... I was ready to try it without.
Let's do it. And Let's take away the safety
net. I don't want to take away your safe list, though.
No, it's fine.
Like, that's my choice. Because I'm not trying to make you do my
thing. I had already, I was, you know, not that I was ready to go to this extreme, but I'm willing to go there because my safe list this year, I was thinking about, okay, well, like, so like last year it was like granola bars, right? And that would be a really hard thing for me to give up. But then I started thinking about, okay, well, what would I replace it with? So if they, like, I can't.
Yeah, you are making work.
I can't have the same safe list every year. That would be, like, weird.
Well, and that's kind of where I came from, too, where I was like, oh, like, you know, this or that, no.
So I started thinking about, like, what are the things that I would, you know, if granola bars got taken away. At this point, if you take away granola bars, you're the biggest asshole in the world.
Not taking away your morning snack.
But it was like, what would I switch to? Yeah. Right? And I'm like, I would probably do like trail mix. So then like, you know, nuts go on my safe list as like something that gets like saved. And so then I can give up granola bars. But you're right. Like that becomes far too much of like a thought process.
Maybe that was the point too, where I was like, I just don't even know. I'm just going to let you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go. You're going to do it with me? You're going to go big?
Yeah. We're going to go trapeze. No safety net.
Woo!
Yeah.
Don't die.
Okay.
Memento mori.
Momentum work. So then am I assigning you first because you don't have a safe list?
Yeah, you can go ahead. Go.
All right. Well,
since I just ambushed you with the whole like no safe list.
And now this gives you extra time to think.
No, I already checked my list of Mrs. Guest. And you know what? It was never gonna be granola bars. I'll just assure you right now.
All
right.
Okay. Fair enough. Now I feel like I should give up those in addition to whatever you give. But you, dear Dizzy.
I feel like nervous.
For Lent this year, you're going 40 days without pickled things. No pickles. No gherkins.
Fuck
no pickly bits. When you go out to that Friday sushi meal that's like cheating, no pickled ginger. No pickled
daikon. I live in a house with like 80% pickled things.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of abstaining going on.
Yep. So my food will be non-vinegared. Okay, okay, that's a real deep cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but it's just pickled things.
Pickled
like,
things.
Like, can I still, like, whilst cooking, like, add vinegar? Or do I have, oh, that makes something pickled?
You're not giving up vinegar. You're not giving up vinegar.
It's
so,
just the actual pickled things.
But if the process that uses vinegar could be considered quick pickling,
No, I realize that. Okay, that's something I wouldn't even have thought to put on my safe list because they're such a major part of my diet. Cool. Well, you'll be joining me in bland food land because you're giving up peppers and the peppered products.
Shit.
Say goodbye to your hot sauce. I watched you joyfully douse your sriracha not hours ago, and I had already picked it, and I was like,
God bless it.
I was like, I'm going to miss that. And you know, little baby Gaz, he doesn't eat that stuff. So
how do we feel? I was going to say, how do we feel about a sprinkle of cayenne? And then I went,
It's a pepper.
Black pepper?
No, I'm thinking like peppers.
Like peppers.
You know, like black pepper's like a little flower. I know. Like a little bowl.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's a bull's weeber.
You can eat all the bulls.
All right. So black pepper allowed, but nothing in the actual pepper family. Bell pepper?
Like capsicum, you know?
Bell pepper?
I mean, it's up to you.
I should give it up. It's up to you.
I think you can do without. Like, of all the peppers, you're going to miss bell pepper the least.
Baby Guess really savors his bell peppers, though.
I hope he eats them right in front of you every day.
I knew one of these days I knew hot sauce was going to come into play.
I think you've put it on your safe list before, and I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an obvious one. So just for reference for everyone, I've taken citrus and nuts and potatoes from you once. Yeah. But you also took avocado, which was still the worst.
That was the first one, and I didn't realize how hard it was going to be.
Although, and shrimp.
Last year was shellfish. Yeah,
shellfish.
Potato. We actually were pretty miserable with potatoes and shellfish last year. Yeah, it went avocados and then tomatoes and then shellfish.
Those were some tough years. This is why I don't need safe lists, because you're like, okay, I'll just take out like a major food group. What am I going to be safe from?
First of all,
I will miss pickled.
The Lent of citrusless gin and tonics was miserable. All right, it was awful. Because it's springtime, and all you want is something light and clean and fresh and citrusy.
Sure did.
Yep.
Scurvy.
And last year, potatoes was brutal, because Friday was fish and chips day, except fish and chips day just turns into fucking fish and fish day.
I thought that was 2 years ago.
I thought that maybe it was 2 years ago.
Nuts for me last year.
Maybe, was
you were eating
nuts
all those
year.
Really sad regular chocolate M&Ms. God.
Yeah.
No Snickers bars. Ugh. See, you don't remember how awful I've been.
I did.
To.
I think I blocked out nuts. I honestly think
that was a
like,
bad one.
Yeah.
Because you're worried about your granola bars, but yeah, you. Okay,
well,
so
I suppose neither of us will be eating pickled peppers for the next 40 days.
It's like sand in our mouth. Pickled peppers.
Yeah. Peter Piper picked a peck of nothing.
Nadia Bulls Weaver.
Nadia Bulls Weaver says boo. All
okay,
right.
Well, that's us. We'll see what spiritual practice will help us get through.
Yeah.
Come next week.
Thanks for joining us. Jesus, we're miserable at the end of this one now.
Maybe we'll like enunciate better.
This is supposed to be
with our new
Tuesday.
Taste buds that'll be growing. We're gonna run to the kitchen and eat a bunch of stuff right now.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed your Fat Tuesday and that you are Bulls Weber deep in Lent at this point while you listen to us.
We haven't even read this girl's book. Nadia Bulls Weber, we're sorry.
We're sorry. You're a wonderful person. We look forward to the rest of Lent with everybody. Yeah. Feel free to email us, churchdrunk@gmail.com, to let us know what you'd like to hear about for the next few episodes as we go through Lent.
Yeah. Tell us what you're giving up or adding.
Yeah.
You can tweet at us at Church Drunk Pod.
At Church Drunk Pod, and spread the word. If you have friends who are Lenting, tell them to tune in to us on Church Drunk and rate us on whatever it is that you're listening to us on, whether
tell
it's
a friend to listen for
Apple,
Lent. Google,
whatever, you know.
I don't know, the places that you listen.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week here on Church Drunk.
Where there are no pickled peppers.
Where there are no pickled peppers to be picked, and the Bulls Weavers have eaten them all. We've got a Bulls Weaver infestation in our pickled pepper patch.
Not helping.
Cheers.